Kings.
And a lot to talk about with the Kings today. Of course, the Kings are returning to the Golden One Center. Tipping off a six-game homestand tonight against the OKC Thunder. Buddy Gleason, Kyle Draper back with us today after taking a few days to recuperate from the bird flu. We also have word today that the Kings are bringing in another wing, Juan Toscano-Anderson. And I think there's a little more to this than first meets the eye.
Really?
Well, just because of his familiarity with Mike Brown.
Mike Brown.
And Juan Toscano-Anderson, you know, he's not an NBA star, but he was a Warrior for a couple years there, 20 through 22.
Yep.
And then he went to the Lakers and Utah, and really he wasn't the same player out of this system. But he's familiar with Mike Brown's system at both ends of the floor, and his first couple years with the Warriors in that terrible year, 2019-2020, he shot from the three-point line 35%. The next year he shot 40%.
Right.
And then the year after that he was at 32% the year the Warriors won it, and then last year he dropped off. But this is a guy who I know you like wingspan, right?
Yes.
Yeah, Will Z Stats had some numbers, and thank you, Simone, for pointing these out. Juan Toscano-Anderson, wingspan 6'10".
So he's 6'6".
6'6".
But the wingspan is 6'10".
Like a pterodactyl,
exactly.
Baby.
And I like that. I think that's what you need on the wing position. You need guys with a huge wingspan. Back to your Jeremy Grant point earlier, 6'8", I think, 7'3" wingspan. Like, if I'm Monty McNair, those are the kind of guys I'm looking for.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not always about defensive positioning and everything. It's about shrinking the floor with your length. That's something the Pelicans do. That's something we've seen with the Clippers. And I think the Kings, maybe that's the kind of guy we should be looking for when we talk about trade targets and everything, guys who can help in that area.
Yeah, Juan Toscano-Anderson's a great story, too. He's from Oakland. I think he wore number 95 because he lived on, like, in his grandmother's house on 95th Avenue in Oakland, something like that. He plays very hard, and if Mike Brown or the Kings are at all concerned about the way the team has looked in these blowouts, I don't know. Sometimes you get blown out, it looks like you're not playing hard. If there's any concern the team hasn't been playing hard enough, well, Juan Toscano-Anderson is a guy, you never have to worry about that with him.
Yeah.
He's going to give you everything he's got.
Exactly, and that's what you need, man. I mean, you look at it, the results might not always be there, but as long as you know the effort and the caring is always there, and that's something that Juan Toscano-Anderson does.
Yeah.
You know, I've seen him down here when the Warriors have come. He's always been friendly, says hi to my son and everything, always, you know, says what's up. It seems to be a good kid. And so, like I said, I hope we get to see him here over these next couple of weeks, get some minutes.
Yeah, really solid guy. Ultimately, even if he plays his best, you know, he may improve the Kings incrementally. But we're wondering here what the Kings need to do to really improve dramatically enough where they're going to be contenders in the West the rest of the way. And the question we've been throwing around, everyone's been wondering about, do you stand pat? Do you hope for that internal improvement, or do you need to make a deal? Pardon me. And earlier we talked about a guy. I found a guy that, and Kyle just mentioned him, but I found a guy that I thought fit the bill for Kyle, and you could acquire him once he's available to be traded, which I think is in another month or so. You could trade, according to the trade machine, you could go Harrison Barnes and Davion to Portland for Jeremy Grant, and I almost had Kyle ready to snap up that.
I'm a fan of the player. I like the player. I like Jeremy Grant. I like his wingspan. I like his ability to hit the three. He's a better defender than the numbers indicate. But you got to give up multiple picks, probably. You got to absorb
right.
his salary, too.
Yeah.
You know, he's got, you know.
But I wouldn't have to worry about him leaving next year like I would with Siakam or Ananobi.
Yeah, that's true. But then that you're married to that. That's your squad. Jeremy Grant, Domantas Sabonis, Keegan Murray, and De'Aaron Fox.
Hello.
That's your four. Is that a championship four? You see? So you bring
I'm
up
I'm trying
guy,
to sell you on it.
No,
I don't think I would do it, but I'm trying to get you to climb up.
I want to know what you believe, Whitey. Is this the guy that puts us over the hump?
I don't think he is, and he's a fine player. But this was the case even during the summer. You know, there were a lot of people that said, oh, go get this guy. And he re-signed with Portland for a lot of money, and bless him. To me, he's a guy that is at his best when he's not taking a lot of shots. You know, a couple years ago with OKC, and I think it might have been when they had, you know, Paul George and Russ and everybody, and he didn't take a lot of shots, and he was a really effective player. Since then, he's been with Detroit, Portland, and he's a high scorer, but I need somebody who can rebound better and do more of the dirty work. Score a little bit. And I think I want a four, a legitimate four, and he's more of a three. So maybe I'm wrong.
Yeah.
Nice player, but I'm not crazy about his fit here.
What I'm afraid of, though, and I understand your concern, you know, I did mention he's 7'3 wingspan.
Yeah.
And, you know, when you look at, I mean, Harrison Barnes is 6'8. Same size, right? What's Jeremy Grant listed at?
I believe he's also
6'8. Yeah, so, you know, you don't get that size factor that you talk about in terms of, you know, a 6'10 guy or anything like
that. He's listed at 6'7, actually.
6'7.
Yeah.
Bam, there you go. There you go. The problem that we're running into, there aren't a lot of those guys that we're looking for out there. Somebody mentioned Jared Allen, I think, in the YouTube chat or in the text line. I can't remember. But I don't know if you compare Jared Allen and Domantas Sabonis. I just don't know about that. You know, what about having a guard?
I don't think you could.
Yeah, exactly. So who's this unicorn we're looking for that we want Monty McNair to go out there and get? And this is, you know, the issue that he might have to face, you know, as he gets to the trade deadline.
Well, I don't know if you can believe everything you read. You know, and I was talking to Sam Amick a couple days ago about how these things work. And, you know, I guess when you read somebody writes something about how this team's believed to be this or that, you know, a lot of times there's more to, they can't really say, but there's more to it. So my point is you read that the Pacers may be all in on somebody this year. The Pacers are feeling like Anunoby or Siakam, they may want to do that. We're not hearing that about the Kings, right? I mean, we know that they could. They could. They're looking at it, but the reporting suggests the Pacers really want to do something. My point again here is I think we talk about them all the time. Anunoby, to me, fits the Kings perfectly. I just don't think I'm willing to pick up the risk of not having him around next year. And it's not even a full season. I would have him for most of this year. But you say, who is the guy? In terms of his ability, I think he's the guy. I think, again, I was talking to Henry, and I don't know that Henry sold on him, but I think he'd be a really, really good fit at both ends.
I agree with you, but when you look at OG, long wingspan, another guy with a long wingspan.
I mean, he's all the guys we talk about, I think he's the best defender. I don't mean to interrupt.
No, you're probably right about that. How would you acquire him, though, without, like you said, the insurance is that you're going to resign him? You're not going to give up assets, and then he walks out the door, and you risk losing him because of free agency. Do you wait until after the season and do some sort of sign and trade? That could be an option as well. And so that might, to me, be more likely to see happen because if he becomes a free agent, Toronto's going to lose him anyway. Maybe you don't have to give up as much. You know, you don't have to give up the two first-round picks to go get a guy like OG. And so I think it's more likely for the Kings that it happens in the offseason. But if I'm Toronto, I might be inclined come February to make a move. And if you're Sacramento, are you giving up the two first-round picks that Toronto wants for just a shot at keeping OG? That's scary to me. I don't think I'd do that. And so you're in a precarious position if you're Monty McNair. Or you stand pat, let this continue to grow, and take a crack at it in the offseason.
I think that's what they'll do, but it's going to be so tempting if one of those guys is, you know, you find out that, wow, okay, we can do this deal. They would do it. This guy is, we can acquire him and all the risk. Do we do it or do we not? I think Monty is the type that will take the slow and steady approach, and I think it's the wisest approach, but it's going to be very tempting if the Kings are in position to add somebody now, and then we'll see down the road, assume that risk.
Yeah. And I'm,
you know, a lot of fans would be, yes, do it,
yes,
do it.
Do it.
You were kind of saying that earlier today, and I might have been the cold medicine talking.
Yeah, it might have been that Advil and that Sudafed and everything that I'm hopped up on right now. But, you know, one thing we know about Monty McNair, he won't be pressured into anything. You know, all his moves that he's made have sort of been
calculated.
Exactly.
I agree.
Against the popular opinion kind of moves, going out there and getting Domantas Sabonis. And so who's a guy that maybe is flying under the radar that nobody's really talking about. You know, as I'm looking at Bleacher Report, their list of guys that, you know, likely to be moved. Jeremy Grant's on that list at number 8. You got Malcolm Brogdon on there, DeMar DeRozan.
I think it's the Ringer. They love Grant's fit with the Kings.
Really?
Yeah. Just as a win, high score. And they look at him as a guy who can help the Kings get back to what they were last year offensively.
Yeah, yeah. I like him, but not at that price. It's interesting because Bleacher Report has Karl-Anthony Towns as a guy that potentially could be moved. I don't see that, right?
Well,
you're not buying that?
I've been thinking that.
And this came out, too. This is a new article. I don't know what they're thinking right now. This just came out November – well, not new, but November 10th, a month ago, and they're saying, what about Bojan Bogdanović from Detroit?
Could he guard a bank? Could he guard a bank if he gave him a gun and a whistle?
Probably not.
I don't know if
probably
he could.
Not. Probably. But that's what I'm saying. There are no easy answers out here. OG is probably your best answer.
I think
out
so.
Out of all this.
I think so. I think he is. And I think some of them are easy. I think it's just, it's tempting, but it's like, no. Like, to me, Zach LaVine, I think we disagree on this. To me, that's an easy one. It's an easy no for me.
I like Zach LaVine. I think Zach LaVine, I mentioned it earlier, when you look at the Clippers and some of these other teams, guys who can, you know, single-handedly win you a game, to me, Zach LaVine's in it. Sure, he hasn't won in Chicago, Minnesota, but I think in the right system, with the right guys, with the right head coach, he can really flourish and become a big-time player on a big-time stage. You know, the problem with Sacramento is you may have to overpay in the trade market to go out there and get somebody.
Because it's going to be competitive for the right guys.
Because it's going to be competitive for the right guy. And, you know, I know we got Malik Monk in free agency, but the top-tier free agents historically haven't come to Sacramento. So in OG Anunoby, if you want to sign him, your best chance might be trading for him now instead of trying to wait to the offseason.
How much would you be willing to get give up if you had a chance to get Caruso? Hold on, we'll get your answer.
Right,
How much would you be willing to give up if you could get Alex Caruso? We're right back with that here. Also, we'll look at how much money Draymond's suspension is going to cost him and how much money it's actually going to save the Warriors next year from the Goldman Center with the Drive Guys. Sacktown Sports. Question to you, Kyle Draper, is how much would you be willing to give up if you're the Sacramento Kings to acquire the services of Alex Caruso if you could do so? How much would you be willing to give up? Because that's a guy that we know can help you and could be available. We don't know for sure that he is.
I'd be willing to give up a first-round pick for Alex Caruso.
Picking a player, maybe?
Picking a player,
yes.
I
would, too. I
would do that. Because, and we also, Kings fans, got to understand, too, when we're looking at our picks now, now that you're a playoff team and hopefully a perennial playoff team, that's not going to be lottery picks you're giving up, you know?
Yeah, but other teams know that, too.
Other teams know that, too. But, you know, maybe it's a 22 pick, 24 pick, or something like that in terms of position in the draft, in the not a lottery pick anymore. And so those first-round picks that we used to have had way more value, not as much value anymore. But I think Alex Caruso is just what this team needs. He could play alongside De'Aaron Fox, move De'Aaron off the ball. He could defend at a high level. He could knock down shots. He's a competitor. I mean, he's everything we want Davion Mitchell to be, if you know what I mean. Like, we hope Davion could eventually one day turn into Alex Caruso. And so I would be willing to give up a first-round pick for him.
According to Shams of The Athletic, quote, a bevy of teams has been expressing interest in trading for Bulls utility star Alex Caruso, league sources say, but the franchise has shut down those calls.
Really?
Yeah.
What are the Bulls doing? Like, they got to do something, right?
Mm-hmm.
They need to hit the reset. They need to start the rebuild. They should take a page out of Oklahoma City and some of these other teams, Utah, and make deals, bottom out, get the high draft picks, get multiple cracks at the lottery. I'm not sure what they're doing right now.
That was 3 days ago. 2 days ago, Chicago Tribune says Bulls reportedly scour landing spots for Zach LaVine, weigh options for Caruso and DeMar DeRozan.
Really?
Yeah. So,
okay. DeRozan, no need here, though, right?
Right. Fine player.
Yeah,
but
fine player. But
yeah.
Timeline and all that just doesn't fit. Just doesn't fit. But Alex Caruso, you could argue he's probably their best asset out there in Chicago, mm-hmm. you know, because DeRozan has the issues that we just talked about, you know, the age, the fit. You know, Zach LaVine, some people say he's not a winner. He comes with a big contract. And so maybe, you know, Alex Caruso is the guy. If I'm Monty, obviously OG, but Alex Caruso, that's the guy I'm going at.
What about when Monty calls you up, says, Kyle, are you okay? I know you've been under the weather. And you say, yeah, I'm good. He says, all right, Jeremy Grant, what do I do? Help me out, Kyle. What do I do?
I'm going to take a pass on Jeremy Grant.
Okay.
I am going to say, Monty, a nice player, but signing to Jeremy Grant, trading for him, hamstrings you
uh-huh.
in terms of salary and everything. I just don't like it.
I'm going to say, for me, you know that I'm not crazy about it, but I'm going to put it the back burner now. Put it at the bottom of my list, and I do want to revisit it before you know the deadline comes and goes. I want to revisit it,
right
now,
all right,
I want to see what else is available.
That's
not the best thing, but let me just park it and see what else is available.
And if you're Monty McNair, I'll ask you, do you get desperate come trade deadline? Do you have to make a move in February?
In my opinion, only if my owner puts that pressure on me, and I have no idea whether they will or not. But to me, if I'm Monty, that's the only way I start to feel that pressure is if, and you could understand if ownership says, you know what, we got a thing here and we could do something this year and you need to make it happen now. And
you know,
that's just
right,
pure
that's speculation.
Speculation.
But me as the impatient fan that I am, I want something to happen now.
Like, I know, you know what? You waited 17 years to make the playoffs. And I know you're going to be impatient, but I know you're going to hang with me. You've proven that. And I appreciate that. Don't get me wrong. I appreciate that.
I don't know. I'm hearing from impatient fans right now, though.
What are you going to do? Go root for the Warriors?
That's definitely not happening, right?
Right.
The Warriors are sinking. But when you look at it, you know, people are freaking out over double-digit losses to the Clippers. Like the expectations have risen now. And so if you're Monty, you got to hear these whispers. Fortunately, we know Monty doesn't pay attention to that outside noise. He sticks to his guns and does what he thinks is best. But when you look at the West, is it wide open right now? Let me ask you. As great as Denver is it wide open now?
It's wide open, but I'm not sure you're in that group of teams that it's wide open to.
Right now.
Right now,
yes. Make a move,
I agree. I agree.
If you make a move, can you get into that mix?
Uh-huh.
That's, you know, before, you know, OKC becomes a juggernaut or Phoenix or whoever else may be, that next dynasty, you got to position yourself to be in it for the next 3, 4, 5 years. Who's that player that does that? I don't think Jeremy Grant does it. I think an OG Anunoby helps you in that regard.
Except OG, I don't know how long I'll have him, and Grant I would have around for a few years. Well, it's going to be a tough one, and we'll see. Maybe Indiana. Indiana may be that team that is feeling that desperation to do something now. That's what's being suggested.
Let me ask you this, because Scooter 916 just brought up an interesting name here on the YouTube chat. Just saw a tweet from NBA Central. First of all, NBA Central, I don't buy the stuff that they're saying, but they bring up an interesting name.
So they're not really related to the NBA.
No, it's not. No, it's one of those, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah. John Collins.
What are his numbers this year? I don't think I'm interested. You know, the Hawks, he should have been a great player for the Hawks, and they moved off him because they wanted to pay him a lot of money.
He's 26 years old.
Yeah.
So that's relatively young.
The other thing is, if you look at, like, pictures of what happened to his finger.
Oh, I didn't see that.
Brutal.
Is it really?
Yeah, he broke his finger and it didn't heal right or something. But that's water under the old Bay Bridge.
So $26.5 million next year, then a player option the following year, $26.5 million.
So what's he doing? Do you know what he's doing this year?
Yeah, I got his numbers right here. Let's take a look. John Collins this season on Basketball Reference. He is averaging 14.5 points, 8.6 rebounds, not bad, 38% from three. Sign me up.
My work. That might work.
In this system, he's a guy that can play alongside Sabonis. He's a lob threat as well.
And they would move him for draft picks, theoretically.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm about to call Danny Ainge right now and be like, Danny, what's it going to take to get John Collins to Sacramento? Let's do that.
We got to get Danny Ainge on the show. Former King, former Sacramento.
Yeah, we should.
All right. Yeah, who said?
Man, we play Utah Saturday, too. I wonder tomorrow if we should
He's been on the station before. It's been a while. Who did you say came up with that? Was that Scooter 916?
Scooter 916 put that out there.
All right. And I've been anti him in the past, but, yeah, I'm open to that. Open to that. By the way, speaking of money and the Warriors, Draymond Green, according to Bobby Marks, Draymond Green is going to lose $153,941 per game if he is suspended fewer than 20 games. Fewer than 20 costs him $153,000 a game. If it's more than 20 games, he will lose $202,922 per game.
Per game, you said?
Per
Wow.
game. Yeah, and this is interesting. With Green suspended, the team will save on its luxury tax. At the minimum, Warriors will save $519,000 towards the tax for every game Green is suspended. And there's also a roster implication there. According to the CBA, if Green's suspension lasts for six games or longer, they could transfer him to the suspended list, and that would drop the number of active roster members from 14 to 13, and that would open up a spot to sign another player. So it's going to cost Draymond some money, and the Warriors are going to
save some money.
A little bit.
What's their tax bill? They're like, what, $400 million or something like
$4
that?
$4 billion.
Right? It's something crazy. It's something crazy.
Yeah.
But, you know, what's interesting about Draymond and the Warriors, and I don't understand why they defend this guy to the death. And I understand he helped win you four. But you could argue he cost you two.
Oh, yeah.
You know, like, you could have had six championships if it wasn't for Draymond's antics. And so, this suspension, whatever it's going to be this year, this puts the nail in the coffin of the Warriors, in my opinion. They're done for this season. You know, we saw the other night they're playing. Klay's getting benched in the fourth. Mm-hmm. Wiggins getting benched.
Oh, yeah. It's like, all unraveling.
It's unraveling for them. Now Draymond's out indefinitely. And Kendrick Perkins had an interesting tweet. He said, rescue Steph, or somebody, you know, basically, you know, somebody help
get Steph out of there
because having to deal with this nonsense in the twilight of his career, Steph Curry should go out better than what we're about to see here in Golden State.
Mm-hmm. That's part of the problem, I think, for the Warriors, is that Steph has been one of the people that always wanted Draymond there.
Yeah. He's always defended
like
him.
His
guy. Yep. Mm-hmm. Yep. But it's, you know, I mentioned it. They could have six rings by now if it wasn't for Draymond. He cost them last year, arguably, with the Jordan Poole incident. And now this year, they're going to be out of it, out of the mix. However, you know, as much as we talk about Draymond in basketball, they are a better team when he plays. The numbers indicate it. I think they're, what, 3-7 or something like that when he's out this season so far. And so this is going to hurt them big time.
By the way, there's a guy you could probably get, Jordan Poole, if you want him.
Oh, shoot.
You could probably get him.
For cheap, too, other than that contract, right? Second-round pick and a bag of donuts. Take this guy.
Yeah.
We'll see him on Monday, as a matter of fact. The Wizards come to town.
Right, that's right.
Yeah.
When we come right back, looking around the NBA, what in the world is going on in Detroit and San Antonio with the Drive Guys from the Golden One Center on Sactown Sports? I apologize because this is a visual for those of you not with us on YouTube, but you may be able to hear Kyle's reaction. Maybe he won't have a reaction, but a few moments ago, I don't believe it, but he and who was it? Scooter 916 talked me into saying, yes, John Collins is a guy. Let's get John Collins. And I asked you about his finger. I'm going to show you a picture of John Collins' finger, okay? And this is just it didn't heal. There's no blood here, but this is a picture of it. He injured it again. This finger would be like his ring finger on his right hand. And we'll hear your reaction there.
Ooh.
And I don't know.
That's
what
just
that
how
is.
It is now?
Unless it's gotten better.
Oh, my gosh.
What do you think, RJ? What do you think of that finger? And I believe that's a right-handed player we're talking about, right?
Yes.
Yeah. So, You know.
All right, all right. Despite his finger, we'd still take him, though.
Man. Yeah. That thing must not have healed right and then calcified or something. And then, hey, wow. Okay. Oh, good for him. Right. Are you feeling good about this matchup tonight as the youngsters on both squads are warming up?
No, not really. I think OKC is playing at an extremely high level right now. I think Shai Gilgeous-Alexander is virtually unguardable. I think they have some toughness with the Jalen Williams, Lou Dort as well. Mm-hmm. I think this is a complete OKC team that just needs some experience. And so I think this is going to be a tough matchup tonight. Like, I know we beat them earlier without De'Aaron Fox. I know Domantas Sabonis has owned them in his career. I know the Kings have won, what, 8 in a row, I think, against these guys, or 6 in a row, 7 in a row. But this is a tough team we're facing tonight.
What's really impressive to me about the Thunder, real quick, and we'll move on because I know this isn't, you know, the Thunder pregame, but we know how hard it is in a small market to put together a competitive team. And the Thunder and Sam Presti, of course, they got Durant, they got Westbrook, and they nearly won a championship. They got to the finals. They got to the conference finals. They lose Durant. You know, they got nothing for him, right? He left as a free agent. They hung in there a little bit with Russ, and they got Paul George. And then they had to build another team, and they're on the verge of being a contender again with a totally different team in a relatively short amount of time. And for somebody to do that in a small market, and they have all these draft picks, I think it's really impressive.
It is impressive, but I could argue also that they're probably the most underachieving team franchise we've seen over the last 10 to 15 years. You just mentioned all the great players that they've had come through, and they've only been to the finals once. Russell Westbrook, Paul George, Kevin Durant.
They had Carmelo for a while.
Carmelo, Chris Paul, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. You know, they've had some great players come through this franchise and just haven't been able to get over the hump. I will say this OKC team, we talk about who's that next dynasty, that they're in great position to be that team. Once the Denvers fall off, once the Lakers and the Suns, you know, those guys, like, they're the second youngest team in the NBA, Whitey, behind the San Antonio Spurs. Think about that. They are the second youngest team in the NBA, but yet here they are, third, I think, in the West right now. I mean, it's unbelievable. Second in the West, excuse me, 15-7. And so this is a tough matchup, man.
It's a real success story. However, on the other end of the spectrum, if you look at the NBA standings, we know last year, because teams wanted to get Wemby, you know, there were teams that were tanking. This year, there's not supposed to be tanking teams, or at least not as many. So then how do you explain this? In the Western Conference right now, you have at the very bottom the team that got Wemby, the San Antonio Spurs. They fell to the Lakers last night. They are 3-20. They have lost 18 in a row. 18 in a row. Remember when they took two from the Suns back-to-back?
Yeah.
Like, hey, they might be a playoff team. They've lost 18 in a row. And then at the bottom of the Eastern Conference standings, of course, you have Monty Williams got that huge contract to coach there. And the Pistons are 2-22. And they have lost, after falling to Philly last night, 21 games in a row.
Wow.
What is going on? I believe those are the two highest paid coaches in the NBA right now.
Wow. Let me start with the Spurs. I don't know if you watched them last night.
A little bit. Saw the end of the game.
What Greg Popovich is doing to Victor Wembanyama is criminal.
Really?
It is criminal. With that roster and not having a point guard, like, I feel, you know, Wemby's doing the best he can. He may even be rookie of the year.
And he had a big game last night.
And he had a big
11
game.
Or, yeah.
But they are without a rudder right now. They're a car without an engine. They're just out there rolling. Like, they have no flow, no system. I'm not sure what he's trying to accomplish. He had the Jeremy Sohan experiment at point guard earlier this season. Trey Jones, the only legitimate point guard on their roster. What they're doing to Victor Wembanyama is criminal, in my opinion. Like, if they had, and I'm not saying this guy, but somebody, a Chris Paul. Shoot, if you would have had a Tyus Jones, who Memphis traded away in that Marcus Smart three-team deal. Like, if you had Tyus Jones, your team would be better. They got a bunch of ingredients. but they don't have a spoon to stir it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they don't have anything that can bring it all together, right? And that is criminal what's happening in San Antonio right now.
Yeah. As for the Pistons, 21 straight losses. The record for consecutive losses in a single year is 26. All time, if you include going from one season into the next, it's 28. And that was the, you know, Tankathon Sixers lost. I think they held both those records, 26 in a row and 28 in a row. And that's within reach for this team, right? 21 straight losses for a Pistons team with a new coach. And they got Cade Cunningham, the number one pick a few years ago. They got some young talent, and they're horrible.
They are horrible. And did you see, didn't they play, or it might have been Washington. Who did the Sixers beat last night?
Sixers beat the Pistons.
Yeah, beat the Pistons. Joel Embiid had 30 points and 10 rebounds at the half of that game. You would think, all right, let's double Joel. Let somebody, He kept feasting on them. And when you look at the Pistons' schedule, tell me where they got a win. Tell me where they get a win right here.
All right.
At Philly.
No.
At Milwaukee.
Nope.
At Atlanta?
Don't see it.
Versus Utah at home. Maybe. Maybe.
I mean, yeah, they got a shot.
Brooklyn. At Brooklyn.
Nope.
Probably not.
Nope.
Home against Brooklyn. Probably not.
Probably not.
At Boston. Toronto. You see what I'm saying? So, to your point, this could easily turn into 27, 28 straight losses.
Yeah.
If you're Detroit.
Utah is 1-11 on the road. 1-11 on the road. So, maybe that's it. Maybe that's it. I just don't understand how that happened. I'll be honest. I thought they might be on the upward trend this year because they do have some young players. They got don't they have Oscar Thompson?
Thompson.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Yep. And you mentioned Cade Cunningham, Jaden Ivey, Jalen Duren.
Right.
You know, Bogdanovich. Like they
beef
have
stew.
Beef stew, Isaiah Stewart. So they have some talent. I don't know what's happening. Are they tanking again? Like, you talk about a franchise that's been a dumpster fire, you know, for the last decade or so. I mean, it's
– And I like Monty. You probably know him. I don't know him, but it's unfortunate. I've been pulling for him, and I thought, yeah, he's going to do some good things there.
No, he's shoot, after every game, he hops in the car, opens up his app, checks his bank account, and he's like, hey, everything's A-okay, homie.
We're good, guys.
We're good. Oh, man, because he's making a grip. Like, what's he making? Like, $9 million? It's something crazy that they paid him per year. And so I know he's trying to build something there, but there's no way that team should be as bad as they are right now.
Yeah. Monty Williams signed a six-year deal with Detroit for $78,500,000.
Look at that.
Annual average salary of
$13 million a year to coach that roster. Oh, my gosh. Wow. And he might be trying to get fired or something. Like, just write me my check and I'm out of here. You know? Seriously.
Yeah. He might end up getting more than $1 million for each of their wins this year.
$1 million per win. That's
yeah. Huh? Pulling for him. Yeah. Long ways to go, though. Still early in the season, right? Still early in the season. We'll take a quick timeout. When we come back, hey, you know, a lot of people have been talking about this 49er MVP thing. Kyle Shanahan actually answered the question, who's the better MVP candidate, Purdy or CMC? His answer is next year with the Drive Guys from the Golden One Center on Sactown Sports.
Town Sports.
Whitey Gleason and Rip Hamilton coming to you from the Golden One Center. And we're just talking about hoops, watch the players warm up, and Drape said that there was something that he did mid-game. Kind of like Rip Hamilton, right? You said you're mid-range.
Mid-range jumper, yeah. Me, Rip, DeMar DeRozan, yeah.
Sure.
All of us, yep.
Yeah. Some people on the chat here asked some questions about Jaden Ivey. We were just talking about the Pistons and this crazy situation.
Yep.
Of course, a lot of people thought Jaden Ivey would be coming here. And some people are wondering, hey, is he even playing there? And I think Monty finally started playing him again, but I believe he sat him down for a little bit.
Yeah. And, you know, I like Jaden Ivey. I think he's a talent. I don't think he's a talent in Detroit. And so a lot of – I'm looking at the YouTube chat, people ripping up.
Yeah.
Glad we didn't take
You didn't want to come here.
Yeah, and all that. We've talked about it before, Whitey. Fit is so important in the NBA. And when you look at the Pistons, right now, they're the dregs of the NBA. Like, it's Siberia, basically. You get drafted there – you know. Mm-hmm. How many lottery picks have they had over the years that just haven't panned out?
Right.
Is it all those players' fault?
Killian Hayes and Sadiq Bey.
Right. Yeah. Or is it the Pistons, the organization, and their development and things like that? And so, you know, I feel for Jaden Ivey, man. I think he's a talent.
We got another comment. Somebody wondering about P.J. Tucker. Hey, what? P.J. Tucker. Oh, word is he's not happy in L.A. What about P.J. Tucker? I think P.J. Tucker is just done. He's spent. Bless
38
him.
Years old.
He's had a great right. career. And those years in Houston where he had to do all the dirty work, under, you know, when they had the micro ball
yeah.
lineups.
Yep, yep.
I just don't know if he can help you anymore.
Yeah, I think his time has passed. 38 years old. 3-and-D guy, but the 3 has failed him as of late. Let me.
Now, he was a pretty good corner shooter.
We were talking about that. Exactly. This season, shooting 31% from 3 this season. And so I just think his best days are clearly behind him. He's not the answer. We already got the answer. Alex Caruso, right? We both.
Uh-huh.
That's the one player universally, I think,
yep.
everybody agrees on.
And I think we have Anunoby, all things considered, what, second? And then maybe Grant?
Maybe
on the list?
Grant. Yeah, 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 maybe Grant. But Alex Caruso and OG,
uh-huh.
you could somehow get both those guys? Oh, come on, man.
Mm-hmm.
That's a slam dunk for Monty McNair.
Beamer Beams or Beamly asks, well, says, JTA, very interesting. We talked about Juan Toscano-Anderson, the newest Sacramento King. A real feel-good story. It's such a great story. And a guy that, you know, he's not going to transform your lineup or anything, but he's a good fit with the system. And he hasn't been the same, actually, since he left the Warriors/Mike Brown system.
Yeah, and I think, you know, with his familiarity with the system
mm-hmm.
out there in Golden State, he would be a good fit. Why not take a flyer on this guy? 30 years old. I think you said his wingspan was, what, 6'10"?
Yeah.
I think. You know, a guy that works hard, plays hard, can get after it defensively, can knock down some shots. And so, you know, I would love to see Sacramento bring him in and actually give him a real shot. You know, because right now we mentioned it. Mike Brown's searching for something off that bench. And maybe Juan Toscano-Anderson is that guy. You know, a veteran, a guy that's been on big stages before, high-level teams. And so – why not give him a shot?
Yeah, he's played in the finals. He's played on, you know, big-time playoff yeah. games. And he plays hard, and you have a good sense of what you're going to get from him. And it's not going to, as I say, it's not going to change your team, but there's what he gives you. He's going to give that to you every night, and every so often he's going to knock down a lot of three balls. So he could be a really good fit. Speaking of systems here, Brock Purdy, system quarterback, that's going to be that's probably going to be a conversation forever. But some people say – you know, oh, MVP, he can't be the MVP because he's a system quarterback. Well, Kyle Shanahan answered a question that we have kicked around here. A lot of football fans have been kicking around. Yesterday, he was asked, who you got, MVP, Brock Purdy or Christian
Ooh.
McCaffrey? How would you, if you're Kyle Shanahan, how would you answer that if you're the coach of the
that's
team?
That's tough. That's tough. I would probably lean towards Brock in the way I answer it because I feel like Brock is the butt of a lot of jokes. He takes a lot of criticism. CMC, everybody knows how great he is. So
mm-hmm.
to build up Brock's, you know, confidence, not that it needs to be, but to let him know, hey, you're my guy, I would lean towards Brock.
Shanahan said, I mean, are you trying to get me in trouble with those two guys? he said, that's the only reason I wouldn't overly comment on either one of them. I don't want them to cancel each other out. But he goes on to say, and this is key to this whole question, if you care who the MVP is going to be. If any non-quarterback is going to get an MVP, I don't get how Christian McCaffrey can't. That's what Shanahan said.
Okay.
In other words, okay. it's always a quarterback, right? It's going to be
a
quarterback.
It's going to be a quarterback, yeah.
yeah. He said, I mean, he's amazing at what he has done all year. If it's going to be a quarterback, then I don't have to talk about Christian. I can talk about our quarterback. If his numbers is all you see, then I think that solves it up. But if you watch the film, then it makes it even stronger, which to me is the most important thing. So Kyle's down with either guy, but I think he's right. McCaffrey or the receiver with the Dolphins, Tyreek Hill.
Yeah.
Those guys just aren't going to get it. It's a quarterback award, period, rightly or wrongly.
Could this be the one year, though, that – it does happen because
I know where you're going. Go ahead. Yeah.
No.
Because why?
No, I'm just saying because there's a segment that doesn't believe in Brock. Say he is a system quarterback. He benefits. And really the only other competition is Dak Prescott. Like when we talk about quarterback, is Lamar Jackson in the convo for MVP? I haven't heard a whole lot. If not, he should be probably.
He's fairly high up, but he's not considered a favorite. But we still have four games left, so things.
There's no overwhelming. Oh, this guy is definitely the guy. Brock Purdy, there's going to be knocks on. It just is what it is. Same thing with Dak Prescott. You know, as great as he's playing, it's still Dallas. It's still he has weapons. It's still their regular season team. And so I don't know if there are people who are buying into Dak Prescott. So I bring this up to be like, well, maybe this is the one year. You know what? It's going to hurt the
Dolphins. You're couching it, but I know what you're saying. Brock Purdy sucks. No, so you got to give it to somebody else.
You know what he's basically saying? I'm hearing is he's saying it's a co-MVP. So I appreciate where you're going
Drapes. Nice. No, I didn't realize that.
Drapes.
All I'm hearing is Niners put co-MVP fans out in their feelings right here. I'm trying to make a legitimate discussion here, and you guys are turning it into Brock Purdy this or that. I'm just saying, nationally, this might be the year where, you know what? Based on numbers, yes. But there is a segment, including myself, who don't believe in Brock Purdy and who would not vote Brock Purdy MVP.
That's great. Instead of saying I wouldn't vote him MVP.
I'm not by myself.
Am I alone? No, you're not.
Am I criticism in not believing in Brock Purdy? No. I'm a tip of the ice. Like, there's a mountain of people who don't believe in Brock. Jay, chime in. About Kings talk, but as soon as Brock Purdy come up, hey, guys, hold on now. Hey, go ahead, Jay.
I'm just asking if I could clarify this. So what I'm saying is, because this is a down year, but because Brock Purdy is one of the leading candidates when it comes to the MVP, and he's the quarterback, and, we don't believe in that quarterback. You know what? Let's take a look. This is going to be the odd year where we could give it to a wide receiver. Just because Brock Purdy is one of those leading QBs.
Exactly. He's trying 100%. To couch it and spread his arms out like, whoa.
I'm not the
doing
only
a lot
one.
Of hugging over there, huh? Whitey, is what you're saying.
I'm not the only one. Because there will be some people who don't vote for Brock Purdy out of spite.
Dak will get it if they finish ahead of your team. If they don't, if they fold,
right?
Which the Cowboys have done, then I think he will get it. Thank you, G-Man. Appreciate that. Actually, those are for you.
I know. I'm parched over here. Thanks.
Let me give you a scenario real quick, fellas. You bring something up interesting there, Whitey. Let's say Dallas has most people consider it a tough schedule. They got Miami. They got a couple other teams. Let's just say they lose twice in the next 4 weeks.
They got Buffalo, too, right?
And Buffalo, right.
Yeah.
They lose twice in the next 4 weeks. The Niners don't lose, and Brock Purdy stays on the same, the same schedule, same numbers. He does what he's doing. He's throwing for 250, 275-plus yards, passer ratings through the roof. It breaks Montana's over 100, 8 games in a row type situation. And the Niners finish with the number one seed. And let's say Tyreek Hill does not get 2,000 yards because now he seems like he's a little banged up.
Right.
Is that not Brock Purdy MVP? Who do you give it to, Drake?
It should be, yes. I think so, yes. By default, because nobody else is stepping up.
He will need something like that to hang for the voters to hang their helmets on. Like, well, Brock Purdy, you mentioned the Montana record. I think he should be the MVP anyway. We'll see what happens. But I think for voters to go all the way and say, all right, he's the MVP, I think there's going to have to be some statistical record that he breaks or sets for them.
But the problem, guys, if we're being real, and Jay,
I
want you to chime in on, if we are being real, Brock Purdy's not even the MVP of his own team.
That's false.
That's agreed. I agree.
There you go.
I agree. I think McCaffrey is.
I think CMC is the MVP.
I would say McCaffrey,
of the San Francisco 49ers. Whitey's trying. He's trying.
Go ahead, Whitey. Get your drapes on. Put your arms. Spread them out.
It's okay.
Spread them out, Whitey. Spread your arms out.
You're not going to disagree either.
Well, yes, I am. I am going to disagree. Yeah, I think Brock Purdy makes Christian McCaffrey better. I think all those guys. I'm not dodging the question because I stand by what I said. Debo and McCaffrey and Trent Williams and Brock and Ayuk, your guy, they make each other better. They all do. And it's silly that some people say, well, Debo would still have the great year no matter where. And McCaffrey, I mean, we saw he wasn't the same player in Carolina. But if you take Brock out, he's terrible. No, I he's having a great year, Brock Purdy is.
No, he's having a fantastic year. But I go back to, you know, my argument all season long. The Niners' fortunes changed not when Brock Purdy became the quarterback. It's when they traded for CMC.
Well, yeah.
Look at Jimmy Garoppolo's numbers with CMC.
Brock Purdy hadn't even played a game last year. He had not played.
But they were already – the winning streak had already started.
I know.
They had already been rolling.
I understand
Jimmy Garoppolo had 9 touchdowns and 1 interception in games he played with CMC.
My point is – and I know we got to take a timeout. Brock Purdy has gotten a lot better than he was when he came in, and he did benefit from McCaffrey. But he's gotten better since then. So that's why –
That's a debate we're going to have. Maybe tomorrow's show.
How could you say he hasn't gotten better?
No, I'm talking about the MVP of the team.
All right.
I think CMC changed everything for this team. And you could the numbers back it up.
I think
Look, when they started winning. They lost the first game CMC played, and ever since then, they've been rocking and rolling.
Yes, because he's got Trent Williams. I think they all. For some reason, the rising tide floats all boats. But I think Brock doesn't get enough credit in that regard. We will. I'm sure we'll revisit that a time or two before this is all said and done. We've got to take a quick timeout. When we come back to the Golden 1 Center, are you buying the Kings' bad matchup theory? That's next here with the Drive Guys on Sactown Sports.